I'm humbled to be able to bring the word of my Father. It's Father's Day today, and I honor Abba, my Heavenly Father. I'm so grateful for the natural father that I had, natural mother. I came through them, but I didn't come from them. I came from Abba, who saw before he placed me in the womb a purpose for my life, a destiny that was meant for me to fulfill, and has allowed me the privilege of walking through faith in a journey that's miraculous, a journey that I cannot believe as time has passed like a vapor, that I look back and see the faithfulness of God through it all. And I recognize that in this hour, that the privilege that I have to be submitted to him still, and I'm going to be 68 in September, and just a young buck, but that in every season of my life, since I accepted Christ at 27 years old, I have needed him desperately to father me. I needed him desperately to give me the privilege of hearing his voice. And in this day, in this age, you would think, well, I've made it. I've arrived. I don't need him. I need him desperately to speak into my life. In this season of my life, every season has been so different. Every season brings its unique trials and testings to the life of a man and a woman. But I'm so challenged to be able to say, Lord, I want to hear the instructions of my Father. And I need to make sure that I don't build thrones that I sit upon. You know, because I've arrived. I'm a man who's achieved. I've accomplished. And, you know, I'm somebody. You know, I recognize by the grace of God I stand. I am humbled by the power of God that has kept me on the journey of life. And I'm challenged this morning to bring you a message from the heart of the Father, to fathers, to young men, to bring you to a word that I pray that would instruct you on understanding his heart. The word of the Lord speaks to us, hear my children the instructions of a father. Tony alluded to it, to be called a father in the natural or a father in the faith, a father to the fatherless, a father who stands with integrity, a man who has the power of impartation because of a life that's lived not from the outside in, but from the inside out, a man who's capable of standing through life's journey to get to a place where he can grandfather the next generation. Into the place of truth, into the place of integrity. Hear, my children, the instructions of a father. I'm continually asking the Lord, because we have a responsibility as fathers. We have a responsibility as men. When God speaks to the father of Isaac, or the father of Jacob, he says in Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Abraham was the father of Isaac. He mentions fatherhood. The incredible gift that we have to be fathers and to be able to love our God to the place of being instructed by him. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, it says, but I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on evil and good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. I've dealt with so many who have been unfortunately hurt by fatherhood, hurt by authorities, who have allowed the enemies come in and twisted manhood and twisted authority to the place where there's so many wounded, so many people with father wounds, so many desperate people who don't know what it is for the integrity of manhood. I work in the hood. I minister in the hood with generations of individuals who have never seen a father with any integrity. They don't understand morality from the side of a man, or how a man should live and work and believe. It's amazing the privilege that I have to stand in the middle of the hood with folks who have been that damaged through generations and allow them to see the heart of the Father through the place of the pulpit. That the church becomes a safe place, though, even though their fathers and mothers forsake them, God says, your Father in heaven will never let you go. He will never let you go. And it's so incredible to know that intense love that God has. You know, in raising my children, I didn't like to see my children be released into marriage. I have to be honest with you. There wasn't a guy good enough for my daughters. I mean, my son-in-laws are incredible guys, but I really did a better job. I really was, like, much better at it than, you know. I mean, and my son, you know, and it, the same kind of thing. I have incredible son-in-laws. I have incredible daughter-in-laws. But I would say to God, I didn't bank on this stuff when I became a father. I mean, I didn't. You gave them to me. You never told me I got to let them go. I don't want to let them go. I think they should stay with me, like, forever. Like, and my daughter Joy, who's my oldest daughter, she came to me and she said, after a few years of marriage to an incredible guy, she says, Daddy, I love Steve so much. He's been an incredible husband to me. I don't need you as much as I needed you before. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You got to need me. You got to need me. You always need me. You know, I go to my wife. You don't need me anymore. You know, well, that's the way you raised her. You raised her to release it. Yeah, but I don't like it. I want them with me forever. And I yelled to the father and said, I don't buy this, you know. And he said, you have my heart because I don't want to be without my kids forever either. That's why I created heaven. I created heaven to get them all back. I want them all back. That's why I sent my son. So that my children would be with me forever. I said, well, I have your heart. I have your heart because I understand that kind of love. The Father's heart, the heart of the Father. Then we have this incredible Father who's in heaven. And so many who have been damaged, and the statistics are incredible about the father wound and people that have been damaged who have to take what the natural has done and lift their eyesight. Like when Peter was asked who was Jesus, and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, and Jesus said to him, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. Your mother and father, your flesh and blood, they didn't tell you about this. My Father in heaven told you. The Father who loved you, who created you, he knows you from the inside out. And I've seen his handiwork through a lifetime. A lifetime not without its challenge. A lifetime of holding on and seeing the faithfulness of my Father instructing me. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 63. The glory of sons is their father. My God, you are the glory and the lifter of my head. And to be submitted as a man in this stage of my life, or whatever stage of life, that you're smart enough to submit yourself to his headship and be trained and open to instruction and be disciplined by the Spirit of the living God, the third person of the Blessed Trinity. The same as the Father and the Son, who makes himself available to walk with us in this day, in this tribulation, in this heartache and pain that's here, where he has overcome this world. We are in it, but not of it. And we are part of the kingdom of God. You know, when my brother was asking about the offering, you know, we live in the kingdom of God, so you support the kingdom of God. I mean, how long your kids live with you and you say to them, reach into your pocket, will you, and help us with the house. The house, you live here, you eat here, you sleep here, reach into your pocket and bless the house. The Father has got, it isn't that he wants to, he needs the money. It's the way he wants to raise a child. Be a giver. Be a giver. Give of your love. Give of yourself. Give of your heart. And sometimes it starts in the pocketbook. What a challenge. But God is for us, you see. He's a God who loves us. Paul writes to us in Corinthians 4, chapter verse 15. It says, for if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, Paul says, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me. For this reason, I have sent you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. He will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in the church. That we don't have enough fathers, people who are passionate about God's love, people who are open to instruction, men of humility, men willing to give of themselves. The last days, Timothy says in chapter 3, Paul writes, he says, that men will become lovers of themselves. Guys, it's so important that we be able to give of ourselves. Be a giver. Don't let life treat you to the place where you become hard in life. Become molded by life. Become sensitive by life. The experiences of life, they're hard, and they'll get you hard if you don't allow them to work in you and allow the heart of God to come out through even the pain of your life. The Father's love. God has a challenge to us this morning to love like the Father loves. I'm challenged by the book of Job. Job is an incredible character. In Job chapter 1, we read that Job was a man of prayer for his kids. I get really crazy about men giving over the prayer support of their children to their wives or to women. Men, you ought not do that. You should be praying for your children. You should be warring for the souls of your children, for your grandchildren, for the children that are so far off. I pray for my grandkids and their kids, and my oldest is only 9 years old. I'm praying for her children. I'm praying that God would, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the generations, would keep the generations holy. And Job was the kind of guy that he recognized what his sons were going through. And he, in chapter 1, verse 4, it says, and his sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their sisters to eat and drink with them. And it came about, when the days of feasting had completed their cycle, that Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning, offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. To be prayerful and mindful of your children. I pray on a continual basis for my kids, for our kids. We pray together for our children, knowing where they are at and what's going on in their lives. And I've seen God's hand be so powerful in their lives that it's because of prayer. He answers prayer. They know mom and dad are praying for them. We get calls, pray for me, pray that I'm going through this, or pray for this situation. And they know mom and dad will be praying. So pray. The heart of a father is a heart of prayer for his children. Care enough to pray. Care enough to have compassion. Man, don't lose your compassion for your children, even though they fail. I don't know how many of us haven't failed. But to be cut off and kind of considered prodigal and is so different than what I see in the Word of God in the heart of the prodigal son's father. When we see this prodigal who received the blessing of a father and was given the blessing in Luke 15, and the father knew what kind of kid he was. The father wasn't blind to just give it away. He gave it to the kid, understanding it could be a challenge here. And that kid went off and he spent it and he lived with the pigs. And he was, the father had a heart of compassion, understanding probably that, hey, he's a kid. He's a young man. He's not a married man. He doesn't have responsibility. He had a compassion for that child. And it speaks that when this child eventually turned, the son says, I will get up and go to my father. It wasn't, I'll get up and go back to the old neighborhood. It wasn't, I'll go back to, John or Jim. It was, I'm going back to my dad. I'm going back to my dad, the one who he took the money from, the one who he hurt, the one who was disappointed and probably heartbroken over this kid. And I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, listen, his father saw him and felt compassion for him. He ran and embraced him and kissed him. They have the compassion of understanding. We all fall short of the glory of God, but don't become so hard that you cut people off without mercy and grace and compassion. The compassion of God the Father. It's amazing to me in my lifetime to watch those renegades, people who have been rebellious prodigals, people who have been in jail, prostitutes, drug addicts, come back and find grace in the house of God because of the love of the Father. Amen. It's just incredible to me. The challenge to my heart as a pastor to love these folks as the Father loves them. What a challenge for me to rise up above. Because I could tell you, man, I could be so critical, I could cut them in half. You know, I could tell them you're paying your dues. I could go up one side and down the other. But it's only by grace I stand. I recognize that. As a father, never lose your compassion. Be challenged by the compassion of the Lord. As a father, hold to wisdom. The wisdom. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 29 says, that I wish that they would understand this, that they would be able to discern their latter end. To become wise is to become capable of discerning the latter end. For many of us who have lived our lives, we have tremendous wisdom because we've been down the road. We have walked the walk. But if we don't tell our children, we don't give the wisdom that we have learned to our children, we are doing a disservice to the generations. The generations need to hear of our failures and our successes. They have to hear that we have walked and shut down situations in our life that were looking to destroy us. And how the flesh or the world or the devil tried to snip us out or rob us of the beauty of life. We have to be able to, at the proper age, sit down with them and share with them. These are the examples of the victories that God has given to us. These are the difficulties and the challenges. My youngest daughter, Melody, who just recently had a ruptured tubal pregnancy, our first pregnancy, she went to the hospital thinking she had an appendicitis, and she was told, you're pregnant, but it's a tubal pregnancy, and it's burst. And it was just devastating for her. And she recognized, Daddy, I lost a little baby. And she has just been so emotional about it. And she called her mother and I up, and she said, how did you lose your son? My son James was killed at 15 years of age in a car crash. My wife and I were in the car behind him when a truck hit him. And she said to me, Daddy, how did you go through this pain of loss? How did you do it? I never saw you flip out. I saw you cry. I saw you grieve. But you never went out of bounds, Dad. And my feelings right now, I feel so torn and twisted in my faith and trying to understand it all. And I had the ability to talk to her about how God brought us through, embracing the cross. Those splinters were in our mouth, but we never let go of the cross, understanding that I serve a God who's a God of love. I know He's a God of love. I don't understand fully, Melody, what's going on, but you never lose the faith that you serve a God of love. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, no matter what you go through. And to be able to share with her the wisdom gained was an incredible privilege for Susan and I. So give them wisdom. Expose what the enemy had tried to rob, steal, and kill in your life. And give them victory. Psalm 78 is a tremendous example of how the Lord challenges us through the psalmist to don't conceal the victories. Don't conceal what's gone on. Share them with the generations. Because the generations, sometimes they go like this because they fail. God wants the generation to go like that. He wants it to go up. And sometimes we need to be compassionate, instructive, filled with wisdom at the right time to speak. God is a God who wants the fathers to be men of prayer. men of compassion, and he wants them to be men of wisdom. Don't shut your wisdom down now when your hair is gray and it shows you you have wisdom. God has given you wisdom. He speaks that gray hair brings wisdom. Don't die with it. Spend it. Give it to the generations. Bless the generations who are trying to find and manipulate their way through a world that's crazier than when I was a kid. God is looking for those men to be rise up and spend that which God has given to you, a willingness to counsel, a willingness to help. The Father's heart is a heart of faith. And faith will be tried. It will be tested to be proven true. A man's man will face the challenges of life. The difficulties of life are going to come. And it's so vitally important that you pass the test. When you're tried, it's like homework, you know. Go home and try these problems out. It's not like a test. We live and we're challenged in every day, different trying. We try and fail. No major things. But when we're tested of God, God is looking to promote you. When you take a test, He wants to move you to the next lesson. He wants to move you to the next class. So the trials of life are for promotion. The tests of life are for promotion. The trials of life are to build character. So when you're tested, God is looking to promote you, bring you up to a higher place. Job was tested. He was tested by God, and the enemy was allowed to challenge Job. Did Job understand that he was in a test? No, he tried to prove himself innocent. His friends who weren't his friends, he had more challenges and difficulties to try and understand what in the world is God doing. He didn't have an idea of the test. He didn't understand why God was doing it. What was the whole purpose? Well, at the end, he submits himself to God because he says, I didn't not only in chapter 42, I don't only know about God, I've seen God. I know God. And I can say to you today, in this day and age, at my life, I know God. I've seen God's hand. I know the power of the gospel. I know the power of the blood. I know what it sets free people over these years, generations. And my heart has been so tenderized to the wounded family, to the fatherless, to the orphan, the single parent. My heart has ached for them. And the Lord has taken me around the world ministering to them because of the heart of the Father that He's deposited in me. I stand humble before God that I could stand in the pulpit and speak of the integrity of the heart of God. But we must be, we're challenged that Job here, he didn't recognize that his testing was not just for Job and his sons. His testing was for you and me. I read Job today. His life speaks to me. Thousands and thousands of years, the generations are blessed because of the obedience of Job. God has used that to make me understand the power of a man living his life through the trials that the generations would have hope. Hope. It isn't the book of Job that I've written for my children. It's the book of my life and Susan's life and going through the experiences of life that have been very difficult and challenging. My wife's brain aneurysm, where we almost lost her. My daughter's cancerous polyps in her colon at 21 years old. The pain of losing my 15-year-old son. Childhood challenges that came our way. But to be able to walk in obedience through them has given my children the ability to have a new book in the library of their lives. I was given a book. It was not too big of a book. There was not a lot of spiritual things in the book. Good father, good mother, but not spiritual. My wife and I were the first ones to accept Jesus Christ in the generations. And we didn't know what it was to walk a life out being faithful to God Almighty through the trials and the difficulties. But my children have watched us walk through the trials, the testings of life, that have given my children, my grandchildren, and the children to come, far off that I don't see, a book into the journeys of life that they can open it up and say, once upon a time, Grandma Susan and Papa Tony, they walked through some hard stuff. And here's the lessons we can learn from what they experienced, just the way I experienced lessons that I've learned from Job. Generations may be blessed. Generations. He didn't know it at the time, but I think about it all the time because I'm a generational thinker. I think about Janet and Ralph, what God has done in your life. I can remember what God has done in your life. And now I look at your young man, your son. I look at Jonathan. You don't know how rich you are by a decision that they made. Generations. Your kids will be blessed because of obedience. Your kids' kids will be blessed because of the generations. They'll have an opportunity to see things differently than before Ralph's and Janet's conversion. The generations are moving up. They're moving up. He didn't know he was being tested to be proven and bless the generations. Sustained grace facing trials. Job endured. He endured through. And you got to look at your life. You look at the trials. You look at the consequences of decisions. And you got to try to look, where did the pain come from? Is it a trial or is it from consequences of stupidity? Is the trial to prove me by testing or is it a bad choice that I've made? Is it to prove my character? We must look for the ultimate purpose, not immediate satisfaction. What's God doing? How do I stay faithful, embracing the cross? How do I hold steady through the trial until God restores and blesses and brings such incredible power that my children now, through their difficulty, my melody or my joy or my mark, they're opening up the book of the generations of their father and their mother, and they're saying, oh my goodness gracious, you can go through pain holding on to God. You see, what a privilege that is. You know, well, bring me more suffering so they could. No, I'm not asking for more suffering. But when the suffering comes, and it isn't from my stupidity, it's because of the challenges of life and the difficulties of life or flesh or whatever it might be. I want to stand true. I want to be tried and tested. I want to be true. I want to be from the inside out as a man. Abraham was tested. Give up what's most precious to you, Abraham. And Abraham was faithful, and God, He knows how much you could handle. Oh, you know, you want to question him at times. You want to say to him, I'm not sure if you understand who I am. No, he knows who you are. And when you're tempted and challenged, he gives you a way out. There's a way out all of the time. But sometimes it'll kill you to get the way out. It'll go against your emotions and all that you want to do and what the world's saying. Because you'll be crucified with Christ, and it's no longer you who live. Christ lives in you. And those trials and those testings will prove who is alive in you. Abraham's sacrifice, he gave up his most precious until the Lord held his hand. And sometimes, guys, we don't get what we want. And in this day and age, this entitlement, and we want what we want, and I want it now. And God is not moved like that. He's not, because you stamp your feet, the Father doesn't kind of move. And sometimes he just says, you hold steady. And you might not see it even in your generation. Does that make a difference? If I want to bless your children's children because of your obedience today and you don't see the benefit of it, but your children will be blessed because of your obedience.
Amen.
He sees the generations. He knows where it's supposed to be going. And sometimes you don't get what you want. I look at John the Baptist. Jesus' cousin. He was filled with the Holy Spirit when Jesus walked into the room in the womb of his mother Mary. He was the one who baptized Jesus.
I mean, they're cousins.
And John sends his disciples to Jesus. John's in trouble. John needs Christ to act, to do something. He sends his disciples. In the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 18, it says this. John's disciples told him about all these things, calling two of them. He sent them to the Lord to ask, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? And when the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, evil spirits, gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messages, go back, if I may paraphrase, go back to my cousin. What you've seen and heard, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is preached to the poor. It was like, well, I'll go back and tell John the people, you know, and he'll be encouraged because, man alive, his cousin is doing all this stuff. I'm sure you're going to like get John out of the situation that he's in. This is a difficult time for John. But Jesus says in verse 23, he said, telling John, he says, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. When you don't get what you want, I'm out of here. Where's God now? Hey, when my kid died, I'm a father's father. I mean, I'm my kids, see my eyes, they're my eyes. The love, I gave my life to work with children, youth. My son died. I wanted to blame God immediately. Where are you? What's going on? I prayed. I had everybody pray across the nation. I was on the 700 Club. I was in... on every major Christian TV show in the nation. I had my intern call up everyone. Pray, pray, pray. God didn't give me what I wanted. He took him home in 36 hours. I didn't get what I wanted. And I had to endure through with faith. It dug into me at a depth that nothing could get into. The depth of being able to trust God when I didn't get what I wanted. As a man, move over, I'll get what I... If you're not going to help me, move over, I'll do it myself. I'll build my own throne. We just said, tear down these thrones. Where have you put yourself? Oh, I know manhood, and we're privileged to be called male, privileged to be called fathers, husbands. We're privileged to walk, called by God, but He's God and I'm not. Tried, tested, proven true. Our Heavenly Father, when He spoke this word has never come back void. This word is being accomplished until the end of the age. And His word is yea and amen. Let your word be yea and let your word be no. Don't conflict and confuse. Be a man who walks in the integrity of the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's hypocrisy for you to speak Christianese or be Christian and you don't live it in your own home. You live it on Sunday morning. We put on this thing from the outside in rather than our children seeing the inside out. The beauty. And that's when you're tried, when you're tested, they will see. Man, this faith of my father works. And you put that new book in the library of the generations. But it's not easy to accept those things. It's not, we're challenged. But I can tell you, He has proven true. A father's love, praise, is filled with compassion, filled with wisdom. A father's faith is tried, it's tested. And it's proven true. And a father's strength. The strength not to quit. There's a story about the HMS, His Majesty's Service, a ship called the Birkenhead back in 1852 in England that was captained by Robert Salmon. 643 aboard, troops with their families. And they were going only on a three-mile journey from Port Danger when the boat hit rocks and was going down. All of the troops started running to the boats, and the boats were not in good shape at all because the ship was just a carrier for just a short journey. And there were only three lifeboats that were capable of carrying. And these guys were running to the boats when the captain stopped them and said, "Fall into rank. The ship is going down." It went down in 20 minutes. "Hold your rank." And these men stood in obedience to the captain. All of a sudden, the tower fell from the ship quaking. And as I was falling, he said, "Hold your rank. Women and children, get in the boat." And those three boats were filled with women and children. And those three boats were successful. From that time on, the protocol of England was, in any disastrous situation, women and children first. It was because men stood in rank when they hit their rock. When they hit their place of difficulty, they honored women and children. They were capable of being a man, holding steady. And the challenges of life come. I'm married 39 years to this beautiful bride, not without challenge. Losing a 15-year-old, 70% of marriages fail. Difficulty, challenges. But I won't quit. There's no quit in me. Christ can bring me through. And sometimes my eyes get, the world, the flesh, the devil tries to twist, and I've got to get into the quiet place with my God and find my strength, even in the times of my weakness. We need to have individual allegiance to Christ, no matter what the cost, to believe in this word, to walk in the integrity of this word, will not only take you through your life, looking at yourself in a different way. What do you see yourself? I heard Charles Stanley this morning. Do you like yourself when you're obedient to God's word, or do you like yourself better when you're disobedient to God's word? It's crazy. When you're obedient to God's word, you walk with a peace, with a joy, with a gentleness, with a faithfulness. But why don't we walk in obedience to God's word? Why don't we live our lives in discipline by the rule? Why do we go out of bounds? Why do we not stay on the straight and narrow? I see it in my kids. I was 27 when I got saved on the beach in Fort Lauderdale. My youngest daughter's 27. My son's 29. My daughter's 31. And to look at their lives at 27, 29, and 31, they are far, so far ahead of me. As a man, my son, as daughters, as mothers, as it's just like it's beyond me. The blessings of the Lord that have come, Jonathan, to the next generation. One generation. The generation before me was mafia. They killed one another. My uncles were shot in the streets. God changed my life and brought me into a place where the generation, my kids, are so blessed by God. Even in their difficulties. As I said, my 21-year-old had cancerous polyps, filled with cancerous polyps. They removed 80% of her colon. She got in front of the people that had helped her because of the insurance that was difficult for her to manage. She was just married. And she shared with them, "I want to thank you for the opportunity that you've given to me with the financial blessings to help you, my kid go through what you went through." Joy got up and she said, I can only thank God that my faith has been tested at such a young age and has endured. And the Lord said, she opened the book. You didn't talk with her. You lived with her. She saw you go through pain. She saw you hold the cross. The generation is blessed. When I think about tithing,
My wife and I, when I came into the kingdom of God, people said to give 10%. It's like, you don't need money.
When I give $1.50, I give it every week, $1.50. You know, it could be $5 at Christmas. What the heck are you talking about?
When we start tithing, my kids start tithing. Mm-hmm. They've been tithing since their first jobs. If I tell you my kids financially and the next generation have gone so far beyond their father and mother, I cannot believe the blessings of God that have come to them, because from the onset of their lives and finances, they've been feeling like that.
Amen.
The seed that live by the world, stay in and be faithful to what God is asking of you. And that it impacts the next generations. And maybe you won't see it, but for me it doesn't make a difference if I don't see it. I know He will be faithful to the generations, because I have dealt with so many who have had to deal with generational curses. And I'd rather see the generational blessings than the generational curses. The integrity of character. Beliefs that it had endured. I challenge you fathers today. I challenge you men. If you're not married, reach out. There's fatherless that desperately need godly men. Fathers, give of yourself. Grandfathers, give of yourselves. The church needs to be a safe place because the enemy has come in like a flood against the family. And the natural family is caving in, but the family of God, the gates of hell, shall never prevail against it. They need to come in and find the integrity of fatherhood. That's why I'm so proud of this young man. I sense the heart of God. I sense what God is doing in this church. I'm privileged to be a part, very small part. And I'm honored to be here. But my prayer for every one of you men today is that you be a man who knows how to pray. A man who's compassionate, not into yourself, not building your own throne, but a man that gives himself away for the sake of others. Love is always giving yourself away. It's never selfish. It's never demanding its own way. It's always looking to give. Stay open to giving. And the wisdom that you've gained, give it. Every opportunity you can. Be a man of faith, that when your faith is challenged, and it will be, you know, and it's, your world can get rocked. Hold steady in faith, because He's never failed and He never will fail you. He'll bring you through the challenges of life. And be a man that has strength of character, strength to live by the Word of God. So, Father, this day I pray for every man in this house, that we would rise to the occasion, that we would see the incredible fatherhood that we have beyond that which is natural, to understand the incredible nature of the Father, who is exemplified in the Son, who showed us the compassion and the love, the faithfulness and strength of Abba. And now the Spirit of the Lord looks to be resident within the heart of every male, everyone who has been blessed with fatherhood, that we would be exemplary for the generations to come. Men who would stand as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That we would be obedient, that the generations would have a chance to escalate in excellence according to your divine will. I pray a blessing on these men this day, that this Father's Day would be a day of turning, a turning point in their lives that would allow them to go through the rest of their days in victory, understanding a greater purpose for their lives than their personal comforts, that you would achieve what you have purposed in this hour for such a time as this. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. And every man said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.